In life, we have ups and downs. Am I right?
We do.
We have trials and we have tribulations. We have good times. Am I right? And a lot of times when we go through those times, or whether it be good or whether it be a trying time, we have, it's usually maybe a song that's happening that you can think of that gets you through that. If it's a good time, it might be a song that comes and you might sing that song, whether it's by a gospel artist or secular artist. Because truth be told, if we look in our CD player, all of our tracks aren't gospel artists. Amen. Am I talking to real people?
Amen.
Musical artists have made songs that have inspired people, no matter if the artist was gospel or secular. For example, Al Green. A lot of y'all might not know about that, but only reason I know, because when I was young, my dad used to put the big headphones on me and set me in the bean bag and put the 8-track on. You don't know nothing about that. But he had a song, Al Green, which was a very inspirational song. It said, everything is going to be all right, because he's coming back real, real soon. And the gospel artist, even Marvin Sapp, he just had a popular song a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. He said, what? I never would have made it without you. I mean, that was supposed to be a gospel song, but they was playing that on secular radio station all the time. I mean, people who don't even go to church know that song, and they sing that song. They even bought the CD just for that song. And what about Dionne Warwick, Gladys Knight, Stevie Wonder, Elton John? Remember the one song they had? That's What Friends Are For? Keep Smiling? Y'all know that song. What about Michael Jackson? Remember when he made the song, Heal the World, Make It a Better Place? That was inspiring, wasn't it? Even Mariah Carey made a song called Hero. And what about that song they play at every single graduation from high school by R. Kelly? I Believe I Can Fly. They gonna play it. Not only when you graduate in June, they gonna play it. They play it at every graduation. Even if you're in the gym or you're getting pumped up, ready for a big game or fight, that music come on from Rocky, The Eye of the Tiger. Know that? Bam, dun, 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 dun. I mean, all of a sudden you just get pumped up, you get ready to go. But in life, we're gonna have some trouble times and some difficult times. It's just unavoidable. I mean, Christ had difficult times. So if he had difficult times, you can expect that the disciples of Christ are going to have a difficult time every now and then. But I remember one time when I was going through something and I had a difficult time. One of these inspirational, inspiring songs came on and it just stuck with me. Y'all might know this song. Come on, Reverend Sid. I'm going to do my Kurt Franklin. I'm going to talk the song. But remember this by Bob Marley? Don't worry about the thing. How it go? Because every little thing is going to be all right. You know it. Sing it. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing. So you remember that song then, right? It was telling us, don't worry about what? A thing. Don't worry about anything. Why? Because every little thing is going to be all right. And I think that what God is telling us today, he just wanted to remind us that every little thing is going to be all right. See, these problems that we magnify are little things to God. And see, strength for this journey, what you need for this journey is not to worry about the little things. Because everything is going to be all right. What does it mean to worry? Worry means to consume in thought, to establish as your first interest. So when you start worrying, that's your first thought. That's all that you think about. It takes over your mind. Let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. A familiar scripture for many. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Got it? And this is how it reads from the NIV version. This is Jesus talking. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not what?
Worry.
Do not worry. Do not consume in thought. Do not establish as your first interest. Do not fear the unknown. But don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his or her life? You just can't do it. Verse 28, and why do you worry? Why do you consume in thought? Why do you establish that as your first interest? Why do you fear the unknown about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor nor spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you?" See, the people this time, Christ is talking to them, they worried about what they're going to eat and how they're going to dress. It kind of still sound like us today, right? Kind of sound like what we're going to eat today, what we're going to go for out for Valentine's dinner. What are we going to go out to eat? What are we going to wear today? I got to wear something red or pink. I got to wear something today. You know, it sounds like today. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Verse 30. "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the non-believers, run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Your Father knows you need to eat. God knows you need to have clothes to wear. But, verse 33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, the food that you need, the clothes you need to wear, the shelter you need, will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Once again, what does it mean to worry? Worry means to consume in thought, to establish as your first interest, to fear the unknown. So talk to me. Tell me, what are some of the things that people worry about? Money, food, children, jobs, house note, health. What else we worry about? What'd you say? We worry about our children. Worry about our spouses. What else we worry about? Come on now, I know I'm not the only one who ever worried in here. You worry about school, thank you. You worry about school. Worry about relationships.
worry about yourself. What else we worry about? So, snow. We worry about the snow. We worry about the weather. Some of us can't even think about Tuesday. We worried about what's going to happen tomorrow if it's going to snow. And sometimes we do it by accident. When they told us we was having all that snow, I bet half of y'all was watching the news all day, Weather Channel, seeing what, who says what. Worried about it. Worry about water, bread, milk. Worried about paying the bills. Nobody worried about that? That's good then. Worried about our health. Worried about others. In verse 25, Jesus asked the disciples an important question. He asked them that then, and he asked us that today. He's asking us that right now. Isn't life more important than food and the body and clothes that you're going to put on? Your life is such much more than that. So there's no need to worry about that. Isn't there more to life than worrying about material possessions? I mean, we don't know how long we're going to be here on earth. So why spend time worrying about food, worrying about material things, worrying about cars and clothes, worrying about a job, worrying about your bills? Why are we spending time just letting that take over our minds and wasting our lives by worrying about those things? Worrying about the cost of things, how food is going up, how, well, gas is down now, so we thank God for that. Amen. But we worry about a lot of material things. We worry about some things that we can't control. Most people during this time in ancient times had little beyond basic necessities. Food, clothing, and shelter. Because their need to acquire these necessities often depended on, especially in the rural areas, often depended on seasonal rains. Or in Egypt, the flooding of the Nile. That had to happen. They had plenty of things to cause stress about food and clothing. So remember back then, if it didn't rain, you know, like your crops didn't grow, so you wouldn't eat. Many of us right now, we don't have to experience that. Whether it rain or whether it don't, we still going to the grocery store. Right. Might not be the best fruit in the world, but we're going to eat something. That's right. That's right. See, so they had a little bit of things to worry about. Let's go to verse 26. Verse 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much, much more valuable than them?" Jesus tells us to look at the birds. God take care of the birds. He provides food for them. God provides food for them just like he provides food for us. If God can take care of the birds, don't you think your Father will take care of you? The one he made in his image, the one that he took time to specifically mold, the one he took and blew the breath of life in. Right. If God will provide for the birds, won't he provide for you? Yes. So if he will, why are we worrying? Why are we worrying about that? Jesus is also telling disciples and telling us today that if God is doing these things for the bird, he's going to do it for his children. Amen. He said, aren't we more valuable than birds? Yes. Ask yourself that. Do you think you are more valuable than a bird to God? Amen. And if the answer is yes, then he will provide for you. Amen. So it's no need to worry. God has a special purpose for you in your life, and he's going to provide everything you need to accomplish his will. This includes food, shelter, clothing, job, be able to pay your bills, the health that you need to accomplish God's will. Verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, I can understand why people worry about their health. I truly can. You get a report from the doctor, and it says whatever. I can understand why you will worry. But will that worrying really change anything? Will that worrying add more time to your life? So now you can't even function because you worried. Your thought is just so consumed about what the doctor just said on the phone or wrote down in his or her little report. And we can't focus. We can't do what God called us to do. We can't even turn our face toward God because we're so worrying about what the doctor said. Worry can affect your health in several ways. Chronic worriers may literally be worrying themselves to death. When a person is in a state of chronic worry, the blood pressure can be elevated. Did you know that? This can be dangerous, especially for someone who suffers from high blood pressure conditions. So if you already got high blood pressure and you start worrying about your blood pressure, you're sending it up more. I just had to tell somebody that just to. Sometimes you got to hear things over and over just to be. I'm just here to remind you what the Lord says today. That's all. Headaches may result from the rise of blood pressure, causing pain, discomfort, and possibility more worrying. Worrying affects your appetite. Did you know that? People who worry constantly may not eat properly. Lack of proper nutrition can lead to vitamin and mineral deficiencies as well as other conditions. On the flip side, some chronic worriers may what? Overeat. You ever be worried about something? And so now, you usually get you a two-piece from Popeyes. Now you get you a four-piece mild white meat. Large fries, large Coke, because you're worrying. You usually don't eat past 7 o'clock, but you're so worried. Now you're eating 8, 10, 11 o'clock, extra cakes and pies. Well, 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't forget the ice cream late at night. Or it's vice versa. You're not eating at all. You're not eating breakfast. You're skipping lunch because you're so worried. It's missing dinner. Not eating vegetables. Smack your neighbor and tell him, wake up. Worrying, not only does it affect your appetite, but worry, people who worry a lot keeps them up at night. Worriers tend to have difficulty sleeping and may suffer from insomnia because they're up all night trying to figure out the problem, letting it consume their mind instead of turning it over to the Lord. Insufficient sleep can cause physical and mental exhaustion. Lack of sleep can also cause headaches, loss of appetite, eye strain, mental confusion. Without proper sleep, the mind and body can't function properly. Lack of sleep impairs your coordination, your motor functions, and your concentration. So this is why God says, don't worry. I need you to go to sleep so I can give you rest at night, so I can give you peace at night, so you can get up in the morning and function and do my will. But if you up all night worrying about your children, but you told them to come in the house at 11 and it's 2. Well, they ain't in yet. You should be concerned You should be concerned, but you shouldn't worry. I remember my mom used to tell me, look, you better be in the house by 1:30. Because if not, I'm locking the door and you're sleeping on the porch. She didn't worry. We can't worry. It affects our appetite, which is not good. Worrying keeps us up at night. Worry, if you worry a lot, can also lead to bad habits and bad health. People who worry constantly may be prone to substance abuse. People who are in a state of chronic worry are also in a state of chronic anxiety. They may turn to alcohol or drugs in an effort to relieve the anxiety. They may start with just a drink to help them go to sleep, but before long, it becomes a regular ritual. They can end up consuming alcohol excessively. Smoking is another habit that people often turn to in an effort to relieve the anxiety. They may also begin using illegal drugs. You ever know anyone? You'd be at work, and let's say the supervisor comes by and say, hey, I need this done by the end of the day. You ever see a person say, okay, I can do it. They get up, go outside. You know how they do. Get that cigarette. Get themselves together. Because they're worrying, got anxiety, and they go back and do their work. See, that worrying, that anxiety can cause bad habits. And don't let them be in a high-pressure job or high-pressure situation. Now they taking 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 smoke breaks. See, this is why God doesn't want us to worry. God sees the whole picture. Chronic worriers who do drink alcohol, smoke, or use other substances endanger their health. Eating too much or eating the wrong types of food can also be very unhealthy. But guess what? Adults aren't the only people who worry. Our children worry. Our teenagers worry. Our young adults worry. We have to watch our kids because they could end up doing some of these same things. You think they just stand up all night to play Xbox and PlayStation 4, but they're really worrying.
Come on now.
You think, my, their appetite really has increased. It could be they're worrying about something. Or their lack of eating could be they are worrying about something.
Yeah, that's right.
See, just like you, children and youth and young adults, they have issues too. They worry. Their minds are consumed by some things all the time. Yours may be how you're going to pay the bills, how you're going to keep your relationship straight, how you're going to get this new job, how you're going to perform at your job. You worry about that. They worry about things too. They worry about doing well on a test. Because we as parents, as the community, as the church, everyone, we put pressure on our kids that they have to have straight A's. We strive for that. We strive for excellence. Yes, we do. But sometimes that's a lot of pressure for some children. So now they're taking a little quiz and they're going crazy because they know if they get one wrong, they're not going to get an A. Now they're worrying. They're worrying about the test. What else they worry about? They worry about being popular. Everybody wants to be popular. And if they're not popular, they worry about that. They figure out, how can I become more popular? And if they can't figure it out, now they are worrying. Now their minds are thinking about that all the time. They have anxiety. They worry about having a boyfriend or girlfriend. They figure they're 13, 14 in high school, and they're worrying. They're getting close to prom. They don't have a date. They're worrying. They worrying. Our young adults, they about to graduate from college and they still not ready to get married yet. They worrying. And they thinking, what's wrong with me?
Come on,
man. So now what do? Now they overeat.
Now they starve themselves and don't eat because they think something's wrong with them physically. What else our children worry about? They worry about keeping up with the fashion. That's the main thing. It's hard. They figure they got to have the new J's on their feet. They got to have the new jeans. They got to have the shirt. Got to have the hat to match. So they worrying about that. And what do? They put it on the parents and the grandparents. Now we worried about how we going to get it for them. They worry about how they're going to make the sports team. If they don't make the sports team, what is dad going to think about me? What is mom going to think about me? I'm not a cheerleader. Mom was a cheerleader. No, I got to be a cheerleader. And if they don't do it, they worry. So not only do you and I as adults worry, but our children worry too. So we got to watch that. And we got to continue to teach them.
Y'all still with me?
So the question is, why do we worry so much? Why do we worry about our bills? Why do we worry about our health? Why do we worry about others? God doesn't want us to worry about that. God doesn't want us to worry about those things. But why do we worry? We worry because maybe we don't really trust God.
That might be it, Mr. Berger. We might don't trust God.
Our lack of faith. Do we not believe in the omnipotence of God? The all-powerful God? The same God that separated the waters from the dry land is the same God that can help you pay off your MasterCard. The same God that created the stars in the universe is the same God that can help your son or daughter be the man or woman of God they're called to be. The same God that healed the woman with the issue of blood is the same God that can heal you of any cancer or any disease that you may have. There is a difference between worry and genuine concern. There is a difference. You can be concerned. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. But a lot of us have tipped the scale and went over to the worry inside. See, when we worry, worry immobilizes us. Yeah. Worrying has us just standing still, not doing anything. All day, every day, we're thinking about whatever the problem or the issue may be. But when we have genuine concern, concerns moves us to action. Yeah. So now we're concerned about our bills or our finances. So now we're concerned. So, hey, we're just not going to sit there and try to look over our budget 50 times and thinking that it's going to change by keep looking at it. No, we're going to do something about it. We're going to cut here maybe and cut there if we can because we're concerned. So we're going to do something about it. We're concerned. We're like, okay, maybe I'll get a part-time job. We're not just going to worry. It's a difference between worry and concern. So what does God say we should do? If you are one of those who continually worry about things, whether you worry about taking care of your family members, or you worry about your nieces and nephews, your newborn grandchild, if you worry about that, if you worry about your kids in school, worry about your kids off at college, if you worry about your health, what does Christ say do? He tells us in verse 33. He tells us how to avoid this worrying and what to do. Verse 33 says what? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Seek first his kingdom. That means to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mm-hmm. And obey his commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you spend your time doing that, you won't have time to worry. Amen. Because loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself, that takes a lot in itself right there. But if you spend your time doing all that, give all your energy to loving God and just loving him with all your heart, everything you have, you won't even have time to worry. Because you'll be so focused on God that that little thing that's going to be all right, you won't even be focused on it. Because you're so focused on God. The more you lift God up, the more you praise God, the smaller your problems become. The more you stay in his word, the smaller your problems come. Because the more you read that word and you read about and learn about all the people that God healed, all the people that Christ healed, all the miracles, you'll be like, man, if God did that, this little kidney stone they talking about ain't nothing. But you won't know until you get in that word. You got to stay in the word. See, a lot of us, we fill our minds with other things besides the word. So we hear about a bad health report, and what first thing we do, we go read about it, which is fine. But we read so much, read about the negative results and stuff. Now we consume with that instead of washing our minds with the word and about Christ's healing power. We got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And what? And then all these things, your health, the material things, he will give them to you because he knows you need them. When trouble comes, we have to turn to God first. We got to trust God. We got to trust God with all our heart, mind, and soul. When trouble comes, we can't run away from God. We can't be like, okay, when I get myself together, God, I'll be back at church. I'll be back in Bible study. No, you can't be like that. When trouble comes, you should run to God. Full steam ahead. You should be running the church at 7 o'clock in the morning. You should be here. We got to run to God. Fill your thoughts with his word and with his desire. And serve and obey him in everything. You have to do this even when trouble comes. See, a lot of us praise God and worship God and give to God and come to church when everything's good. But what about when things are a little challenging? Amen. When it gets a little tight in the finances, do you still come? Do you still give? When your kids aren't acting right and the whole community knows because it was in the newspaper, are you embarrassed? Do you still come and sing and give God the glory? Because as parents, you only could do but so much. After a while, it's on them. Do you still come when your relationships aren't good? See? We got to fight through. If you wasn't here on Wednesday, a part of the Wednesday message was I talked about how no one really told you or tells us that when we come to Christ that it's not easy. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy being a disciple of Christ. A lot of times we paint a picture that once you come to Christ that it's easy, smooth, follow the yellow brick road. No, it's not. It's difficult. And become challenging at times. But with the power of Christ and with the Holy Spirit, you can make it through this spiritual journey. But you got to stay on track. You got to understand you're going to have obstacles in life. You're going to have challenges in life. Christ did too. Christ had to love his neighbors. He had to sit at the table with this joker who had just sold him out. And he knew the joker had sold him out. And he still had to sit at the table and eat with him. How many of us would have got up and said, man, forget this? Matter of fact, I would have got up on the table and punched him in his face. But Christ didn't do that. He knew that Judas was going to betray him, and he still loved him. So on this Christian journey, it's not going to be easy. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have difficulties. But we can't worry. We can be concerned about things, but we cannot worry to the point where we are damaging our health. Amen. Overeating, not going to sleep. Abusing our bodies. Your body is a temple of God.
And it's supposed to be used to glorify God and to do his will, his mission for your life. So I think Mr. Bob Marley got it right when he said, don't worry about a thing. Because every little thing, see, some of the things we worry about are little things. It seems big to us, but it's little to God. God just wants to see, are you going to trust me?
Well,
is your hope in me? Every little thing is going to be all right.
Yeah.
Another songwriter wrote it like this. The songwriter said, I'm so glad trouble don't last always.
Yeah.
I think the pastors used to sing that. They used to say that. Say, weeping may endure for a night. Keep the faith and it will be all right. That's what that song said. It don't last always. So if you know it don't last always, why are you worrying?
Amen.
That's all God wanted me to tell you today. God wants you to know. God wants you to stop worrying. Stop worrying about your retirement. Stop worrying about how you're going to make it. Stop worrying about the next generation. Stop worrying about school. You can be concerned, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about keeping up with the Joneses. Don't worry about getting the newest fashions, the newest cars and houses, all that material stuff. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't let all that consume your every thought. God just wants you to know to trust him. Trust him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Because every little thing is going to be all right.